morning, everyone. Welcome to session three. Can we believe that? Halfway through almost. Yes. Yeah. Wonderful, wonderful. This is Essential Targets for Kids Ministries.
Thank you.
And our presenter today is Shauna Phipps.
Yes.
That's how we say perfect. I said it awesome. I said it correct.
You did great.
And this workshop is sponsored by Good Shepherd Contracting.
Nice. Contracting got us. they're lifting us up. They're our foundation. All right. So anyway. Again, my name is Shauna. I am the Girls Ministries Director for New York. I have also served in the local church as a children's pastor, a youth pastor, and as a young adult pastor. So I've kind of covered all the expanses. So I kind of took it and changed it to Next Gen Ministry, not just kids, which I did last year too, because I feel like all the components work. You just have to tweak them to be applicable to the age group. Right? Yes. You can't sing the B-I-B-L-E with a ninth grader. Yeah. Well, actually you can, because some of them like it. They like to go back. But today we're going to hit on the following four areas of Next Gen Ministries, which encompass Kidmen, Youthmen, Royal Rangers, and Girls Ministries. And those four essential target areas are learning and memorization. How do you get these students to actually care and apply it? And memorize it, put it into their heart and their head. Yeah. All right? Number two will be encountering the Holy Spirit. Who is he? What does he want? Right? How do you hear his voice? Those types of things. Three is hearing the call of God. Because I don't care how old a child is, they can get a call from God.
Absolutely.
Okay, period. My call came at 10 years old, and he brought me my husband at 12. I just didn't know it. Okay? Four, honoring family structure. Without the family, we don't have the students. And without the students, we don't have the family. They are integral and they are tethered together. Okay? So let's go a little bit deeper into learning and memorization. This target can be hard, but is most vital because it's something that they will take with them throughout their entire life. Right? That's one of the reasons why we do Kidmen at preschool level or even nursery by praying over them. They bump their knee. Let's pray. Right? We want them to know who God is and that God cares for them. Now, if we get them younger, we have more time with them, which means that that cup gets filled up even longer.
Can you go on this side so we can see the TV?
Oh, gosh. Yeah, I just won't be able to move, and I don't like moving.
Are you happy now?
Yeah.
Okay. I am not, but that's okay. No, I'm just kidding. Okay, so we want them to become followers of Jesus Christ throughout their life because they'll be able to put that into action as they become spouses and parents as well. Bible fluency is the ability to confidently navigate, understand, and apply the storyline, the characters, and the themes of the Bible to everyday life. So simplify it for your notes. Ability to navigate, understand, and apply. Okay? Those are the three things that we're looking at when we want them to learn from a lesson and memorize it and take it to the bank.
Navigate, understand,
and apply. Navigate, understand, and apply. And then we want them to apply it to their everyday life, mm-hmm. right? Not just in the church. I'm not going to be a good church kid. I'm going to be a good kid Amen. Who has the characteristic of Christ Amen. Living and breathing mm-hmm. in me and through me, right? Because a lot of kids today, they come to church. Whose is that? Pastor. Just saying. All right. They have two different personas. They have their church persona, and then they have their whatever persona, they're whacked out one, right? Core aspects to biblical fluency, you have to go beyond the literacy, beyond the actual scriptures, right? We want to focus on them knowing the facts, but we want them to be able to apply it with principles that they can walk in their daily lives with, okay? Contextual understanding is another core aspect. it requires understanding the original context. So you can't just throw a verse at them and say, memorize this. Why? Why is it important? They need to know the who, the what, the why, the when, and the how behind it, right? Including even sometimes the author's intent and the genre behind it. Where were they living? What was the culture like? You know, kids really like, sidebar, to know how much money was back then compared to today. Because they hear it from their parents all the time. Does money grow on trees, right? Or that costs a lot of money. Or so that's a really good way to pull them in to biblical context. Like if a lady gave an entire bottle of perfume to worship God, how much would that account to today? And what would you not be able to have in your life because you sacrifice it to God?
Yeah.
Like that's pulling it into contextual understanding and going beyond the literacy. All right. Mental mapping is another way. It helps them map their way through the Bible to know timelines, to understand how the Old and New Testament connect together. Just because we have the New Testament doesn't mean that the Old Testament doesn't matter anymore.
Right.
And there are faiths that feel that way. But if God wrote the Bible, it's all important. And that's what we believe. Okay? And it also helps us to center our focus on who Jesus is. And then habitual study, right? Again, we need our kids to go out of our four walls in the church into their communities and be solid. A lot of kids, even into their high school and college, when somebody says, why do you believe that? I don't know. I was just told it. They have not had it become contextual. They have not gone beyond the scripture alone, and they haven't studied on it and applied it for themselves. They have to grapple with it, right? It develops through reading regular engagement with the Bible. It's not just a passive listening thing. It's an intentional thing. It's something that they have to decide to do. So you have to encourage them to actually do daily study, you know, outside of the church. And one of the best ways to do that is if you're doing a lesson, give them one thing a day to pull that lesson back into their daily life, right? Because it'll just hammer in that point and it'll make it living and breathing for them. All right, so how do you help students become biblically fluent? There's a few ways. I'm just going to hit on them, and then if you have questions at the end, you can ask. Active storytelling. This is where my movement comes in, right? We want it to be living. God is living and breathing and moving amongst us. Just because it's in a book doesn't mean that it doesn't have value anymore. So you want to be active. Have kids pick a character in the Bible story, stand up and say, what do you think that character would be portraying in their body movements? Would they be angry? Would they be sad? Would they? And have them show it.
Yeah.
And give them a cue card.
Yeah.
Right? Have them take action. So storytelling, using props, role playing. You can do object lessons. Rotten fruit. Do we want good fruit? Or do we want rotten fruit? Bring that rotten fruit in and have them smell it. They'll be sick. They'll get the point really quick, right?
Yeah.
They'll be like, So those types of things to illustrate bringing light to the world. Visual and sensory. Now, in today's society, we have a lot of children that are visual or sensory orientated. You have to think outside of the box. You cannot just do felt board and little guy anymore. You can't. They need to feel it, they need to see it, they need to hear it, and they need to say it. Okay? And I'll be hitting on those in a minute. Any way that you can do that, maps, diagrams, visuals, hands-on things, even like when you're talking about the two brothers, one was hairy, one was smelly.
Right.
Right? Like one was a gardener, one was a killer. I mean of animals. So like what does that look like in a story play? Give them a piece of fur to feel that, right? This is what his dad felt when he came in, and that's how he knew. Would you like your dad to only know you by what was on your skin, you know, and have them process that? You can also do fun things. Like, if they've memorized, and really memorized, not just gone, like, they know it, they've applied it, they can tell you how they applied it in their lives. You can have a theme day. We're going to wear PJs to church on Sunday. Like, give them something in return for giving to God. God says when we give to him, he's going to give back, so we can do the same, right, as we're ministering to kids. You can also include games and team activities, like what I have you guys in your hands about to do, all right? There is a verse that you guys are going to be standing up, popcorn style, in order if you know it, all right? So it is Philippians 4:8. It is a key verse for girls' ministries. And it starts with who? Whatsoever. Next.
Things.
There you go. Whatsoever things. What's the first one? Are true. Honest. Just.
Lovely.
Nope, you're not yet. Are of good report. Okay, stand up, show me your cards.
I'm at the end.
All right, ready? When I say it, ready? Are you ready? Are you sure you're ready? Because maybe I'm not. Whatsoever things are of good or are true.
Honest.
Why am I struggling now?
Because you're up front right now.
Because I'm up front. I need my Bible.
I'm so proud because all my girls got this. And
right?
I'm like struggling right now.
Wow, that's horrible. And it's like saving my front. Okay, ready? Got it. True. Noble. Right? No, you're the wrong. Yeah, we don't like that. Jesus, help me. But, okay, so we'll do that at the end, because I'm going to do that.
But this does happen in kids, man. Right? Things don't go the way you want them to. I did an object lesson last year with kids on how God ripped the veil from the top to the bottom instead of from the bottom to the top. One of those stinking kids was able to rip the cloth from the top. No one else could, but there was one. And I'm like, Jesus gave you a superpower. Like, what do you do? Like,
you got to go with it, right? So you can do popcorn things like this. You can write the verse up there, and then you can erase one word at a time.
I do that.
Right?
I do that with my girls.
So there's all these different ways that you can do it. Building blocks when you have little kids, the big mega blocks. Write it on the blocks and then have the kids go and grab them. Like, you can read the scripture verse and then they go and grab them so that, you know, you don't have brain fart syndrome like I do, right? So think outside of the box when you're doing games and activities. You can even take like hot potato, take a sock, ball it up, and we're going to say, as I say the word, you're going to give them a word. And as I say it, you're going to throw it to the next person, kind of like the name game. All right. Songs and rewards are awesome, too. Interactive music. There are so many resources on YouTube or other social content that you can play and get them to know the scripture through those. One of my favorites growing up was the Bible. It's the book for me. I stand alone on the word of God. Right. I don't need to listen to the world. I need to listen to the voice of God. I am a CH. I am a CHRISTIAN. See, I can spell still. All right, so those type of things cemented in because they have something else that's engaging another part of their mind. Psalms 150, verse 6 in the NIV says, "Let everything that has breath praise the Lord."
Yes.
Praise the Lord. Well, what's the song that they love in middle school and high school? Let everything that has breath. Praise the Lord! And then they get to say it again, right? Praise the Lord! So you can get them to popcorn that way. And then you can tell them, did you know that that song is actually a scripture verse? Like, you can pull them in to the scripture so that they have some biblical fluency. But then it goes beyond that into the understanding it and applying it. What does that mean? It means if we don't praise him, the stinking rocks are going to praise him. Do you want a rock to praise him over you? No, right? So those types of things. Psalms 42:1 is another verse that I love. It's super old, but it's a golden one. As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul longs for you, right? And then what does that look like in their personal lives? Now, I'm a big component of relationship building. You will not be able to get to a kid's heart until you know who they are. All right? They're not going to let you in. They are not going to trust you. So what does that mean for you? You need to get to know them in and out of the church. You need to know their names. If you can't remember names, give them a nickname. For anyone that was in my session last year, I have nicknames for every girl and boy that I come in contact with. And some of them I don't know the real name because I can't remember it, but I can remember their nickname because it's part of their characteristic trait that they presented to me. So, avocado is Angelina. Tater tot. Right? She picked that. She's like, I want to be called Tater. And I'm like, really? She goes, no, Tater tot. Okay. So that's Bella, right? So there's things that are relational. I have Slinky. She likes to literally slink off of every chair she's in. So she's Slinky. And I cannot for the life of me remember her first name. But when I say Slinky, she's like beaming with joy because I know her, right? So key components there. You want to know them. You want to spend time with them. You want to sit on the floor with them. Don't be towering over them. I did this one time to a lady and I was training her and I go, how does this make you feel?
Intimidated.
Right? It's not comfortable. Now you take a tiny person and a big person.
Yep.
They're scared and they want to go home to their mama, right? So get down on their level. Talk to them. Be kind. Be gentle. Be approachable. When they walk in the front door, don't walk there like your worst enemy is entering the room, right? Don't cross your arms. Be open and available to them. You want to also let the kids take ownership. Let them have a voice in the room. Help them to teach. Help them to hold a prop and become part of the story. Help them to pray with each other and encourage that. What does prayer look like? It can be, thanks, God.
Yes.
Or it can be, God, thank you for who you are and who you created me to be. I appreciate who I am and what you're going to show me as I go deeper in my relationship with you. Now, which age groups did I just do? Mm-hmm. High school, kindergarten, right? Key verses. We want them to hide it in their hearts, right? Psalms 119, verse 11. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. When we hide his word, the enemy has less of a foothold.
Yeah.
And so what happens is when they're in compromising situations, they can pull that scripture out and say, nope. Not today, Satan. And then they can declare those scriptures over their life. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. That's what we're instilling in this next generation. We're giving them the tools and the tricks and tips to stay strong with their faith. Isaiah 41:10 says, do not fear, for I am with you. When they feel lonely, do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and I will help you and I will uphold you with my righteous hand. That's Isaiah 41:10. Okay? You want to be an example? So learn right alongside them. Be silly. Be goofy. Don't be the expert in the room. Be the one who's walking it out with them in the room. Okay? So I hit on a lot of them, gave you a little bit, but make the Bible come alive. It is not a history book. It is a living, breathing, moving testimony that they can apply to their own lives every single day that they are living. Okay? Now, the different learning styles, I hit on these last year. Visual, auditory, reading and writing, and kinesthetic. your students that you interact with on a daily basis, if it's your job or if you're in ministry once or twice a week, they will be a mixed bag, not only in learning styles, but in personalities and characteristic traits. So when you are planning your topics, when you're planning your lessons, when you're planning the messages, find ways to hit for each of these demographics, and you will have 100% more engagement by your students, which means that you'll have less bathrooms, you'll have less slinkies, you'll have less, okay, you'll have engagement where they're speaking and they're grabbing and they're retaining it, okay? Encountering the Holy Spirit. How do they encounter the Holy Spirit? We need to describe it. We need to help them understand it, especially when they're young. But it is an inward witness, or it's something that you feel inside. I change my words based on the grouping, right? Children often feel the Holy Spirit in the quiet inner voice, right? Or a sense of warmth. They feel like especially in corporate situations, they might feel like they're getting really hot or nervous. Guess what? It's probably the Holy Spirit starting to work in their little hearts and in their minds. And for you to lose weight, you have to be intentional. You have to work out, something that you have to work towards, right? The same thing with encountering the Holy Spirit. It's something that you have to work at. You have to, I hate saying practice makes perfect, because it doesn't. It makes it better, right? It makes you more proficient in it. It doesn't make it perfect, because we're on a broken side of the reality we were supposed to be in. But it does help us to glean, to learn, to connect, to grow. So we need to tell them, what are you sensing? What are you hearing? What do you think God's saying? And no answer is going to be wrong, right? Unless it's like really unbiblical. But let them flex that muscle and get stronger. You need to tell them that's conversational prayer too. They can simply ask the Holy Spirit to be present and lead them. You know, one of those things when a kid's decision A, decision B, angel, devil, right? Conscious. What is God telling you in the moment? What are you sensing Him leading you to? Good, bad, angel, devil. Which one, right?
Like the cartoon.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Devil. Tom and Jerry.
Yeah.
Dreams and visions. Kids will wake up and they will be like, I dreamed about this. It was really weird. Well, let's see what Scripture has to say with it, right? Or they can see things. The first time my son, my oldest son, who's 22, saw something, it was in California at the youth convention. And he came up to me and he goes, Mom, I saw this. And it was beautiful and it was also scary at the same time. And he laid it out, and we were able to sit and pull out Scripture. And then we just nurtured that over the years. And we said, hey, is God enhancing that, what you saw? Is it going a little bit deeper? Have you been praying for clarity? You know, those types of things as he was going throughout life.
Right.
Intuition of truth. The Holy Spirit helps children to understand right from wrong. Truth from falsehood. Children can participate in prayer for healing, in worship, and in ministering to each other, and that's all encountering the Holy Spirit. So you need to make sure that they know that He's real, that He's active, and that He is for everybody. Not something to be freaked out about, not something to be scared or overpowered, like you feel like He's taking over. No, you're allowing Him to give you more so that you can be all that you, you know, in the army, all that you can be, because that's who God has crafted you to do and be. So who is He? I gave you some just contextual words that you can use that work with pretty much all age demographics, right? So who is the Holy Spirit? He's a healer. He's your helper. He'll help you feel better when you're sad, when you're lonely, when you're confused, when you're angry. He'll guide and direct you. Everyone who has access to the Holy Spirit, everyone, not just your mom and daddy, not just your grandma and grandpa, but you have access to Him. And then how does the Holy Spirit talk to you? And I gave you a few there. Okay. guiding children's experiences, you want to encourage them to listen. This is something that they don't do well, especially in today's society, because it's so high impact. It's so go, 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 go. They need to be inundated with everything, like instant gratification, right? I go to the microwave, I'm going to have food in 2 minutes, right? So you want to help them practice listening, sitting. Even in the awkward silence, create those moments. Using simple language, like I put up here. Affirmation. Let a kid know. Ask them. That's amazing. What do you think it means for you? Where do you think God is guiding you? What scripture can we apply to that? Right? Using those Bible stories, talking about Pentecost, using the illustrations. And then avoid the skepticism, because a lot of kids, again, they feel like it's for older people. God doesn't want to talk to me, or he's going to control me and I'm not going to know what's going on, those types of things. And also teach them that it's not just for church. It's for every single day. The Holy Spirit equips us for the ministry. And the ministry, we are all called to it, whether we are part of a church or we are part of the secular vocational world, okay? So hearing the call of God, you need to create the atmosphere of anticipation and then utilize this because God has already given them gifts. And you can see it from the time a kid is one. They light up the room, or they're just the ones that always go up and hug somebody, or they always go around and pick up things, right? You can see the giftings that God's put in them. So foster those, call those out, right? I see this gifting in you. What do you think God will do in you and through you using it, right? So language is important. Scripture is important. Prioritize stillness again. Model the process. Like when I was a kid, leading worship was part of my DNA. Did I know that I'd be leading worship as, you know, a 48-year-old woman for the past, like, 32 years? No. But I loved to worship. I loved to sing, and I loved... And then I met my husband, and he came with the instrumental background. So we were able to do it in tandem. Encourage those spiritual disciplines. Every day, pray. Every day, ask. Every day, sit. Every day, pull out that Bible, read a scripture verse. How can I apply it to my life? And then provide those opportunities for serving in the in your church. Let them sing. Let them lead a song. Let them use the scripture. Let them do all of that, okay? And then you want to mentor those individuals that you really see they're stepping into those callings and those giftings. So utilize youth conferences, curriculum, one-on-one in safe spaces where everybody can see you. Those type of opportunities you can grow into and develop those. All right. Participating and collaborating with parents. These are 3 resources which are going to be on the next page, but you can check them out at the end because I think I have, 3 minutes left?
You have 2 minutes.
I have 2 minutes, okay. There is Ignite Parenting through the National Office. They have so many good resources for the parent, connection cards, books, all of this. I would highly recommend you to take a look at them and see. We are Team A. No, sorry. They are Team A. We are Team B. So we need to equip the parents to be able to foster spiritual fluency, lifestyle, all of that at home. So whatever you're teaching, you can give weekly guides to help them understand. We want to get out of the drop-off mentality into the equipping and strategic partnership. Okay? Again, relationship is key and quintessential to helping parents and kids work together. You can host parent weekends where you're working with the parents and the kids to have fun and also do biblical things. create family-friendly events. Don't just do things for, you know, parents. You can do virtual small groups so that the families can stay at home so that they don't have to come out of their home another day, but make it fun. Encourage parents to come back to the table in gentle ways. Conversation cards, which are up here, simple prayer before kids leave for the day. Start small, encourage them to start small. They might not know where they're going or what they're doing. So we don't want to overwhelm them. Okay, there's the resources. F plus F plus F. Spiritual growth opportunities start with biblical fluency, fun and interactive lessons, and taking full responsibility for their own faith journey. Okay, we want to go outside of what mom and dad have taught them. Yeah, we're good.
We're good.
All right, if you have questions, I'm here.